This is episode 295 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. So good to see you today. It's Friday. How's your week been? I hope you've had some chances to see God's grace work in your life this week, or the lives of those around you. I've discovered that if you pray for that, God always answers in the affirmative. Today we're on track two. We're going to begin the book of Colossians today, and we'll read the first two chapters. Our translation this week is the New English Translation. Before we begin, I thought you might like to know a bit of background. It's always good to know the context, right? This is one of the letters that Paul wrote from the Roman prison. Colossae seems to have been an important city in what would now be the southwest corner of modern-day Turkey. Only ruins of the city remain today. The Colossian church was not started by Paul, but by Epaphras, but he still cared very much for it, as you will hear once we begin reading. He was concerned for them because of the Jewish contingent that were trying to bring them under Mosaic law. With this brief background, let's begin. Colossians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Your faith and love have arisen from the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard about in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the entire world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, so it has also been bearing fruit and growing among you from the first day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You learned the gospel from Epaphras, our dear fellow slave, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard about you, have not ceased praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live worthily of the Lord and please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good deed, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the display of all patience and steadfastness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for all things in heaven and on earth were created by Him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and all things are held together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that He Himself may become first in all things. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in the Son, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself by making peace through the blood of the cross through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And you were at one time strangers and enemies in your minds as expressed through your evil deeds. But now He has reconciled you by His physical body through death to present you holy, without blemish, and blameless before Him, if indeed you remain in the faith, established and firm, without shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel has been preached in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become its servant. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my physical body, for the sake of His body, the church, what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. I became a servant of the church according to the stewardship from God given to me for you in order to complete the word of God, that is, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to His saints. God wanted to make known to them the precious riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him by instructing and teaching all people with all wisdom, so that we may present every person mature in Christ. Toward this goal I also labor, struggling according to His power that powerfully works in me. Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for those who have not met me face to face. My goal is that their hearts, having been knit together in love, may be encouraged, and that they may have all the riches that assurance brings in their understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will deceive you through arguments that sound reasonable. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in Him who is the head over every ruler and authority. In Him you also were circumcised, not, however, with a circumcision performed by human hands, but by the removal of the fleshly body, that is, through the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, you also have been raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. And even though you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He nevertheless made you alive with Him, having forgiven all your transgressions. He has destroyed what was against us, a certificate of indebtedness expressed in decrees opposed to us. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Disarming the rulers and authorities, He has made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with respect to food or drink, or in the matter of a feast, new moon, or Sabbath days. These are only the shadow of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Let no one who delights in humility and the worship of angels pass judgment on you. That person goes on at great lengths about what he has supposedly seen, but he is puffed up with empty notions by his fleshly mind. He has not held fast to the head from whom the whole body, supported and knit together through its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits of the world, why do you submit to them as though you lived in the world? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, founded as they are on human commands and teachings. Even though they have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and false humility achieved by an unsparing treatment of the body, a wisdom with no true value, they in reality result in fleshly indulgence. May God bless the reading of His Word. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Colossian church to stand fast in their faith, to not succumb to the seductions of the enemy by way of false teachings. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and firm in your faith just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So he's telling them to stay close to Jesus. Make Him the most important part of your life. If you do that, nothing can come between Him and you. I liken this to my relationship with my wife. The lovely lady Leanne and I have been married now for over 25 years, and our marriage is rock solid. Never once in our married life have I wished that I was not married to her. Never once has any other woman been a temptation to me. Our marriage is stronger today than the day we took our vows. Why? How have we been able to survive when so many other marriages fail? Simple. Because on every single day of our marriage, each of us has reconfirmed our commitment to one another, both verbally and in hundreds, no, thousands of large and small actions. Every day we say, "I love you," with words and deeds. We're dedicated to making our marriage as good as it can be. Sure, problems arise from time to time, but never once has either of us allowed the thought of calling it quits. When you have that kind of commitment, there's no danger of being seduced into compromising circumstances. This is the same kind of commitment that Paul says we should have with our relationship with Jesus. If we are dedicated to staying close to Him, if we are firm in our love for Him, the seductions of false teachings will have no effect on us. And the way we live that out, the method to make that a reality in our lives, is not only to make daily Bible reading part of who we are, but also to keep a steady flow of conversation going with Him. Pray without ceasing, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't flirt with things that would draw you away. We are the bride of Christ, as we've been reading about in Song of Solomon. If you truly love Him, that's not a hard thing to do. I truly love my wife, so it's not a hard thing to stay close to her. Same with our relationship to Jesus. It's not hard to stay close if you dedicate yourself to continually cultivate the relationship. It's a daily decision, and the longer you stay with it, the easier it is to do. I'd love to hear your comments. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode 295. Or you can tweet me at @SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. Have a great weekend. Until we see each other next Monday, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.